morning. It has been a great morning already. If you are not awake yet, I'm pretty sure we need to call the coroner because you're dead. But it has been a great morning so far. We are wrapping up our series, Unscripted. And one of the things I think that is so important for all of us to understand is that since the beginning of time, and actually before the beginning of time, because the Bible says it was God's plan before creation, was that God desired for all mankind to be connected with Him. God's desire is to have a relationship with us. God's desire is for us to follow Him, to be and do the things that He has called for us to be and do. But we think about that from a human perspective, right? We think about that and we go, oh, see, that's God wanting to plan our life out. That's God wanting to put us in this constricting environment. That's God not wanting us to be able to experience who we are and express our individuality. But the reality is this is so cool to be able to fully understand this, is that God has created each of us individual and unique. God is not a cookie cutter God that goes, I want everyone to do X and everyone to live Y and everyone's hair color to be this. Aren't we thankful for that? And everyone's eyebrows to look this way and everyone's, No, God's not that way. God created us each individually and implanted within each of us a dream, a desire, passion, potential to become all that God has called us to be. And what's interesting is that even though God has planned this out from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He knew that they were going to sin, He knew that they were going to reject Him, and He knew that the rest of the creation story was going to be marred because of our unwillingness to follow Him. And so here's what God did from the very, very beginning of time. Everything that He did, even creation, the book of Romans tells us, is a indicator, a sign, a point to God. We look at our world, we look at creation, we look at all that is, we say, hey, there's a beauty in it. So there has to be something beautiful that made it. Ugliness does not create beauty. And so we look at the world, we say, there's order in our world. And so we go, disorder. Order cannot come from disorder, so there must be order. And so even all of creation points to the fact, hey, there's a God, there's a creator, there's something else out there. And then we see God even further saying, you know what, I have a desire. I am going to call a group of people, a nation to myself. And I am, through this people, going to communicate my message to the world through these people. I am going to love them. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. He called them the children of Israel because they all came from a guy named Jacob, who God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And so all of these people, this nation, was to become God's pointer, God's direction, God's GPS to Himself. The Bible says that God said to the nation of Israel, He said, listen, I want to bless you in such a fashion that when all the rest of the nations of the world see you, they will know that I am God. And because of that, they will want a relationship with you. And as God created that, he put a leader in charge. His name was Moses. And He gave Moses these things called the 10 what? We all know that, right? You've been your first time in church in your life, and you know that, right? And you probably know, oh, it says don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this. But what we often forget is that it also says do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says to live a life that pleases God. But here's the thing. We look at that and we say, that's restrictive, God. But what God was actually saying is, listen, this is what I want for you. I want you to be able to live in freedom. And within these things, there is so much freedom and joy and excitement. And so this law that God gave was to declare or to paint a picture or craft an outline or a border that God says, listen, within this, there is absolute freedom. There's no shame, there's no sin, there's no judgment, there's no regret if you live within these things. But we as human beings, because we want things our way, right? Oh, yeah. Man, we want things our way. If you've got little kids in your house, you know that's true. If you've got other human beings in your house, you know that's true. We want things our own way. I don't even want to ask how many of you have fought over which way the toilet paper should be facing. I know some of you are like, but listen, if you're fighting over it, that means, just saying, you know, one of you's right and one of you's wrong. Just, you know, as long as it's coming over the top, you're right. Okay, so, Because we want things our own way. That's what we want. And so we look at God, and instead of seeing God as someone that wants to liberate us and free us and give us a life of meaning and purpose and joy, we see God as this oppressor, and we call it the law. And therefore, if we disobey the law, God wants to punish us. But that's the totally wrong concept. The reason that God gave the commandments was to paint a picture of what life could be like if you passionately follow God. It could be without the pain of divorce. It could be without the pain of fear. It could be without the fearfulness of struggling with your neighbor because you actually have a good relationship with them. And he paints this unbelievable picture. But the law also is true in that when you break the law, there's always what? Consequences. And God didn't create the law just to show us what way we should go, but also to show us how it doesn't matter how hard we try, we can't live a perfect life. Can we all agree that we are not perfect? You can just raise your hand, just right now, real quick. Go, because if you're not raising your hand right now, everyone's looking at you. Okay, there we go. Okay. Because we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. And so because of that, we know that God's law, we have violated God's law. And the problem is that when we violate a law, there's always a penalty. And God says, listen, but here's the cool part. Because I created the law, I can also fulfill the law. And so the Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law. In fact, we're going to begin there, Galatians chapter 4. The writer, the apostle Paul, is writing this letter to the church at Galatia because they have accepted Jesus Christ. They have begun to follow Jesus Christ. But there was this turmoil that began to enter into the church. And the turmoil was, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you've got to do what I say, and you've got to. And it was this whole big rule-making thing that began to be infused back in the church. And they reached back into the Old Testament, and they grabbed all the laws, and they grabbed all the commandments, and they said, see, now, even though you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and even though Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, paid and fulfilled the law, you still have to follow the law to a point. And if you don't, oh boy, bad things are going to happen. You ever known anybody like that? You ever been in maybe a religious institution that's kind of like that, has all these rules and all these regulations, and you know, if you're a guy, you can't wear certain things, and if you're a girl, I mean, if you're a guy and your hair touches your ears or your collar, man, life is over with, right? Because apparently, if your hair touches your collar, you might as well call yourself Bruce Jenner, because that's just throwing it out there. Took you a while to get that, too. It's like, did he just say? Okay. But it's like, man, you know, that's what they thought, and that's what they teach, and that's what they say, but that's because they try to follow some rules of religion. And Jesus Christ said, no, I came to fulfill the law, to free you from that. And listen, hey, you know, in those type of places, if you're a woman and you dare not to wear a skirt or your skirt, listen, if your skirt does not at least come past your knees at this point in time, and if it's a straight line skirt and you've got a slit in it, it's got to be, and it, I mean, man. Praise God for that. So anyways, this whole thing, and it's like you just feel this constraint and this constriction, and it becomes what God never intended for it to be. Because God's purpose, God's passion for you is to set you free to become the person he's called you to be. And I want you to see this, because Paul's writing this in Galatians chapter 4. He says, listen, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. In other words, when Jesus Christ was born, the law was still enacted. It was still there. It was still viable. It still hadn't been fulfilled. The penalty was still hanging over our head. But God sent him to buy what? Freedom. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. And it's not just that he sent them to buy freedom for us, but on top of that, it says so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, or Daddy, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. And I'll pause there. We're going to get to the next verse in just a second. But I need to take just a moment just to make sure you understand everything that was just said, because it is so important. He begins, he says, okay, you guys remember the law, Old Testament, the law, Leviticus, and all of those things. And now these people have come into your church, and they've tried to tell you that you need to live up to the law, because the law is all this stuff, and the law is so important, and all these things, and bring it in. He says, but you need to understand that God gave us the law, he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, as a guide, as a signpost, as a pointer to God. You see, the law points out where we're wrong, but it also points up to the God who can make it right. And see, that's what the law was supposed to do. That was the whole point of the law. And so when Jesus came, he paid the penalty of all of our failures, which we've all agreed that we have, and he died on the cross paying for the sin and the shame and the judgment and the condemnation, and he paid for it on the cross. And Paul says, listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are free. But it's even bigger than that. It's not just that you are free. It's not just that you have freedom and you are no longer a slave. But now also you have been accepted. You have been adopted, a legal adoption, if you will, as one of God's kids, as one of his children. And we use that, you know, when we see the bumper stickers in the, you know, the Christian bookstores and all that stuff. I'm one of God's kids. But we fail to allow the power of that to penetrate our hearts and our minds. You, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, are literally the child of God. We run around through life, and we do the smallest thing wrong, and if we are trying to live what I'll call a legalistic lifestyle, okay, we're trying to make sure that we don't break any rules, because that would be the worst thing in the world. And the moment that we do that, what do we think that God is towards us? Because if we break a rule, God must be what at us? Angry. Oh, man. And we can just feel it, right? Like we're driving, and we go faster than we should. I always go to driving because we can always relate to that, right? See, like this morning, seriously. I was behind a person. I was so mad. They're going so slow. I'm honking my horn, and we both pulled in together at Friendship Church. It was so exciting. That didn't really happen. I'm just saying that can happen, you know. It's like, man, you know, and we get so stressed out, so excited. And we can just feel, right? You can just feel God going, you know that God doesn't do that? Now, I know that sometimes your children can stress you out. Amen? Yes, praise God, right? Man. And sometimes in the name of Jesus Christ, you want to cast out the demons that are, man. But, moms, dads, when's the last time you didn't love your child? In spite of what they do. You see, man, allow that to penetrate your heart. See, we live walking around feeling like God's all mad at us and all this stuff, but the reality is that God has set us free. And we're going to look at some of those things because I think this is so important. So let's fast forward to chapter 5, verse 1 of the book of Galatians. So Christ has truly set us free. Now, is there an if, an and, or a but in that sentence? That's a declarative statement. Christ has set you free. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are free. And another point of scripture says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. There is nothing clarifying that needs to happen there. It is an absolute declarative statement. This is fact. But I want you to see what he says next. Now make sure that you what? Isn't that interesting? Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. See, this whole series, this whole idea of living life unscripted is not that we just live any way that we like. Because living any way that we like does not bring the ultimate pleasure and happiness and joy that we are seeking. We think that that's the case, right? How many times have you done something that you thought would bring you ultimate joy and you regretted it? Now, I know that probably none of you have ever at any point in your time done something foolish like, you know, I don't know, drink too much. Or, I don't know, hang out with people that you shouldn't have. Or dabbled in something that you shouldn't have, but at the moment, you thought it was a great idea. Now, the next morning, you realized just how dumb of an idea that it was. And you're looking for V8 and aspirin and all sorts of stuff because it's just like, that was dumb. But at the moment, it felt like it was a great idea. And see, that is exactly what sin is like. Sin promises you the world, but instead what it does is actually takes it all away. It promises beyond what it can possibly give, and it delivers far less than it can even come close to delivering. And so what I want to do is, as we wrap this up, I really want to bring it back to the very most important and basic truth, and that is this: living free is only possible through Jesus Christ. Living free is only possible through Jesus Christ. If you think, oh, I'm going to structure my life in such a way, I'm going to plan my life out, I'm going to do all this stuff, and I am going to enjoy the freedom that it gives. No, it won't give you freedom. Because the Bible says when we live for me, when we live for us, it actually does not give us freedom. It actually enslaves us further. Because we make dumb decisions, do we not? And we go, oh, not me. Oh, yes. You may not know yet. You may not realize the consequences of the decisions that we make. Now, I'm not saying we don't ever make good decisions, but we tend to make bad decisions because either we think we know better or we allow our emotions or the moment or the fears or the circumstances or the people or whatever the case may be to manipulate us. And we are living on scripts that everyone else has written for our life, and maybe even you've written for your own life, but none of them will bring you the joy and the satisfaction and the hope and the happiness and the freedom that you are truly looking for. Because living free is only possible through Jesus Christ. It's an everyday thing. You know, when Paul says stay free in verse 1, he's talking about the fact that even though our freedom has been given to us, it's not something that we've earned, right? It's not something that we deserve. Jesus Christ did it on our behalf. He paid the price for us. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of anything that you've done, not of our works, because if it was our works, we could say that we saved us. But we did not. Jesus Christ did. And so because of that, we have this freedom. But even if we've accepted Jesus Christ, and even if we have all the freedom given to us by Christ, we can still live as if we have no freedom whatsoever. And we literally allow ourselves to be captivated and enslaved by things that will never bring us the joy, the peace, the hope that only Jesus Christ can offer. And so Paul says, listen, stay free. So what I want to do is I want to give you four things today that you need to live free. The first thing is you need to live free from sin. Now, I know some of you are like, are you saying that we can live the rest of our life without sin? Do you know yourself at all? Seriously, do you? No, I mean, come on. Sometimes, let's be honest, we sin before we fully wake up in the morning, right? The alarm goes off and words form in your head, right? Because that's something that we are constantly going to struggle with. So what does it mean to live free from sin? Living free from sin means that you can live without having to sin. Because the Bible says that before we know Christ, we are a slave to sin. Does a slave get the choice to do what they want to do? Answer? No. It's the master who dictates the choices that they make. Therefore, if you are a slave to sin, sin is your master. It is the one that tells you what you can do and what you cannot do. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he broke that relationship with sin so that you no longer have to sin. You have to choose to sin. Now look at this. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 says this. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? In other words, oh, hey, whew, I don't have to pay the penalty of sin anymore, so I can just sin even more. How awesome! That's like you show grace to your child because they didn't clean their room. It says, listen, okay, listen. I love you because I love you. I'm not going to kill you right now. But this room is not acceptable. But I'm not going to discipline you right now, but get your room done. So your child looks at this and goes, well, they didn't discipline me this time. I guess I'll just make my room a little messier. And when you come back to look at their room, instead of the room being cleaner because they are thankful for the grace that you've shown them, it is even worse than it was before. And you're like, you. And see, that's the idea, that's the mentality that sometimes we get in our head, is that because we've been free from sin, now we are free to sin. That's not at all what Jesus Christ did. Look at this. He says, of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you, what? What's that word? Choose to obey. You see, when we live our lives and we make the choice that we are going to obey our desires instead of following God, we immediately place ourselves back underneath the burden and the mastery of sin. It is an everyday thing. It says, listen, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Every day is a choice. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ, it's your choice. You can sin and then, you know, live as a slave as it captures you, as it holds you, as it ties you down from experiencing the joy and the peace and the hope that God has for you. Or you can choose to follow Jesus Christ, who sets us free to enjoy the benefits as a child and an heir of God. Because Jesus has set you free, you can live free from the slavery of sin. The second thing you can do is you can live free from shame. You can live free from shame. Just a few moments ago, I said, do you remember your past and you did something that you shouldn't have done? And I know that probably the vast majority of us were immediately able to go, boom, yep, I know. And you probably don't want other people to know because it brings you shame. You're like, I was so dumb. I was young, maybe not so young, but I was dumb. And I made stupid decisions, and it brings shame. And you feel that shame. And anytime someone brings it up, like you're hanging around with old friends, they're like, hey, do you remember when? And you're like, shut up, my kid's over here. And you're like, the shame. But you know, you don't have to live in that. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died for you, he paid the price for your past. Look at this. Romans chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. So when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. See, there it is right there. Listen, when you were a slave to sin before you knew Jesus Christ, you didn't have to do what was right. Why? Because you were a slave to sin. You couldn't do right if you wanted to. And what was the result? You are now what? Ashamed of the things that you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. You see, when we live for ourselves, when we do things that we think are good, it ends up only leading to shame and regret. The Bible says that if we live and if we follow Christ, we can live without shame and without regret. Look at this. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Now listen to this. This is so cool. It's so, this idea of living free from shame means that nothing that you do in following Christ will ever cast the shadow of shame or ever fill you with the emotion of regret. If you follow Christ and you follow the plan that he has for your life, you can literally walk through life without shame and without regret. But remember, it's your choice. You can live free from sin. You can live free from shame. You can also live free from judgment. You can live free from judgment. Do you know anybody that is one of those people that we'll just say that they're judgy? You know what I'm talking about? They like to let you know when you have disappointed them. They like to let you know when you've done something wrong. They like to let you know if you've stepped outside the lines that they have drawn for you. Or maybe it's not somebody else. Maybe it's God. And you think every time you do something wrong, God is judging you. And you're always walking and waiting for the anvil in the sky to drop on your head. And you're constantly fearful about that. Or maybe even worse, the external judgment is nothing compared to the internal judgment that you put on yourself. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. It's the penalty of breaking the law. But that the gift, something you did not earn, you did not deserve, but it's still yours. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 8:1-2. So now there is no... what is that big word? Condemnation. Judgment. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Paul says, listen, you got to understand this. When you accepted Jesus Christ, the eternal condemnation for the sin that you have done in your past, that you will do in your future, that judgment has been passed. That sentence has been paid for. The price has been paid, and you now have freedom in Christ. So don't live under that condemnation anymore. But, if you choose to go your own way, because remember, it's a choice, right? And you choose to make your own decisions, and you choose to step out from underneath the protection of God's plan, you will never experience the promise that God provides. You see, we think, oh, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ, therefore nothing bad can happen to me. Well, first of all, God never promises that. In fact, Jesus Christ says, if you follow me, you will have trouble, okay? That's not the bumper sticker that anybody wants to put on their car. Hey, listen, follow Jesus. You'll have rough times. That's awesome. Nobody goes, ooh, sign me up for that. But the truth is, it's not about just the here and now. Jesus Christ saves us for eternity and the here and now. And when you follow Christ, you not only live underneath His protection, but you experience all of His promises. And you can live free from judgment. Because if you're following Christ, and He's not the one judging you, and He's the only right, then what do you care about anybody else? Live free from judgment. And the last one. First three have been live free from. This last one is live free to. Live free to love. Now I know us manly men... love, we don't want to talk about that. We love our wives, we love our kids, we love our sports teams, because that's manly. But I want you to see this. Galatians 5:13-15. My brothers and sisters, God called you to be free. And here again, but don't use the freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful self. It's not an excuse to do what you want. It's a release to follow Christ. Serve each other with love. The whole law is made complete in this one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful, or you will completely destroy each other. When you've experienced the love of Jesus Christ, you can experience the freedom to love other people without fear. You can experience the freedom to love other people without an expectation, because love casts out fear and love doesn't hold it over the other person. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says this, that love doesn't keep records of wrongs. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. The love that we experience from Jesus Christ because he died on the cross for our sins is not something that's just to be reservoired inside of us and held tight. Instead, the love that Jesus Christ, who by the way is projecting the love of God, the Father, John chapter 3 verse 16 says that for God so, what? Loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So whoever believes in him could not perish but have eternal, everlasting, life-giving life. And so when we accept the love of God, we then begin to and need to project the love of God to others. You go, you don't understand. I've got people in my life that are not lovable. Have you met yourself? Are there times in your life when you're not very lovable? When you are like a porcupine walking through a balloon factory? Explosions going off everywhere around you. You can't figure out why. You're just having a great time. We are all unlovable. But yet God chose to still love us. And because God chose to love us, our responsibility, I'm going to even change that, not our responsibility, our right is that we get to love other people the way Christ has loved us. In fact, that is the thing that God says through his son Jesus Christ that we as Christians should be known for. John 13:35 says this, your love for one another will, what is that word? Prove. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We want to prove to the world that we're the disciples of Jesus Christ by the things that we don't do. Right? We want to prove to the world that we are Jesus' disciples by the way that we tear other people's sin down and neglect our own. Because that's not as bad. Right? Because occasionally when it's late at night and all three of the women in my house are asleep, I don't sneak and go get the Reese's peanut butter cup eggs that are still left over from Easter. But that's not bad, right? That's not bad. That's not wrong. See, think about it. Jesus Christ says, you want to know how to prove that you're my disciples? It is shown by how you love. And let's go back to the very, very first thing I said this morning. God's desire, God's plan from the very beginning of time was to draw mankind to himself. And if you are a follower of Christ, he is trying to do that through you. And part of the way that he's doing that is to allow his love to penetrate your heart, your mind, and your life. And when you follow Christ, you can live free from all these other things, and you can live free to love the way that Christ loved you. And let me tell you something. There is no freedom. There is no freedom found in sin. Only slavery. Only judgment. Only regret and shame. And the only person that you can love if you're following your own heart is you. But when you are willing to accept Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ with your life, you can live free. Free from sin, free from shame, free from judgment, and free to love. but only if you follow Jesus Christ. That's it. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, because this morning there may be some of you here that said, you know what, I have never accepted the love of Jesus Christ. I've heard about it before, or maybe this is the first time you've heard about it, but you've never understood it to the point where you accepted it. And this morning, if you know, I'm held captive by the sin and my choices and my selfishness and all of these things, and I want to live free. I want to break the script that I've been living on. Today is the day. The Bible says, do not wait. And so I'd like to challenge you, I'd like to encourage you in this moment that you would pray in your heart and your mind to God, dear God, I know I've been living for me. I know I am a sinner and I need your Son, Jesus Christ. Please forgive me. Please fill me with the freedom that you've promised. And fill me with your love so I can show it to others.